Many people who love their dogs would probably enjoy working at the Arizona Canine Cognition Center in the School of Anthropology at the University of Arizona. They've just studied 375 puppies. Geeta Nanadesakan is an evolutionary biologist and comparative psychologist who works there. She studies wolves as well as dogs. Hello, Geeta.
Hello, Jim.
Nice to talk about dogs. Dogs inherit a sensitivity to humans that manifests really early in their lives, Geeta.
Yes, that's right. We see that puppies as early as 8 to 10 weeks old are already prepared to communicate with us.
How does this reveal itself in them?
There are multiple ways that we see this, but I think one of the most iconic is a task that we call a pointing task, in which we hide food under one of two cups, we point to one of those cups, and we see whether the puppy follows this pointing cue to find the food.
That reveals intelligence, of course, but you said also reveals dog empathy.
I would say that it reveals a sensitivity to human communication, right? They're looking to us as social partners who might provide useful information.
Yeah. And it is interesting that it's there so young. This is across breeds, do you think? Because you only used adorable puppies, I'm told.
Yes. This study specifically used Labrador retrievers, Golden retrievers, and crosses between the two. However, work that I've done in the past has actually looked across breeds. When we look at the average relatedness between dog breeds, we find a similar pattern in which the relatedness between breeds actually predicts a dog's performance on these sorts of tasks.
Do any breeds, I imagine there are some, take longer to bond with humans, do you think?
I do think so. There are so many questions about breed differences that honestly our field has not been able to grapple with effectively yet, in part because you need to study so many dogs.
Be fun to study dogs. Dogs are even sharper than apes are at relating to us and following what we do.
Absolutely. And that's actually part of how canine cognition as a field really gained its footing, because there had been years of studies looking at chimpanzees and bonobos and finding that they seemed to not use these sorts of cues when provided. And so the finding that dogs did was a somewhat surprising one, in fact, and has led to theories about the importance of domestication and how that may have actually changed social cognition in dogs and potentially other domesticated species as well.
Yes, not so obvious in cats, Geeta.
Well, cats are certainly harder to study, but there is some preliminary evidence, I would say, that they are also attuned to our social communication.
Dogs are interested in our faces. What do they find there? They are looking for approval or more than that, do you think?
I do think that it's more than that. I think that they know somehow, and probably some combination of genetics and experience, that our faces are communicative. And what cues they are reading to read our faces, I think is very much an unknown still. But they seem to look to our faces for some form of communication and use that to determine whether, in fact, we are communicating with them or not.
And that's quite sophisticated analysis, I imagine. I mean, if I bare my teeth at a dog, that dog isn't going to think I'm going to bite it. I mean, the dog has to make these readings and adjustments, which are quite sophisticated.
Absolutely. A smile in a human can look quite a bit like a much more aggressive facial expression from a dog. And they seem to have somewhere along the line learned human expressions are different from canine expressions.
So they are working us out right from early puppyhood.
Absolutely.
What happened when you talked to the puppies? Because as well as running tests in which you observed them, you talked to them.
Yes, we used what we sometimes call dog-directed speech, which is very much like infant-directed speech. Hi, puppy! Are you a good puppy? Those sorts of engaging vocalizations. And we measured a few different things. First, we measured how much they looked to us as we spoke to them. And this was, we thought, a measure of how interested did they seem to be in our presence and our communication. We actually climbed into the pen with them and allowed them to approach us or not as they wanted. And we measured how much they came in physical contact with us.
And you saw that they get the relationship right away, although they were in a litter with their mum and siblings prior to coming into contact with you. It's as if they were expecting humans to arrive in their lives. They are kind of biologically prepared.
Yes, I love that way of saying it, that they seem to expect humans in their lives, because I think that's true. These puppies, they had interacted with humans on a daily basis to a limited extent. They were in human homes, but they were mostly interacting with their mother and their siblings. And yet they were already ready to follow human pointing and to look at human faces when they were being talked to.
It can't all be inheritable. It can't all be genes, can it?
Absolutely not. And that is very important, I think, in any discussion of the genetic components of any trait, but especially behavior and cognition, which is, of course, what we study. And in this case, the most heritable traits were still at most about 40%, 43% heritable by our analyses, which means that over half of the variation is actually not explained by genetics. And so we don't yet know how that component of it works, but presumably all sorts of factors, including the individual puppy's experiences, potentially the effects of their mothers, the sort of parenting styles, and many other things that we probably haven't even yet started to think about.
So they're just fantastic animals, basically.
Absolutely, yes. They are wonderful study subjects, in part because we can begin to tease apart all of these components.
Geeta Nadadesikan is talking to us from the University of Arizona. It'd be very useful to know eventually what genes are present and what dogs, actually, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and that is, in fact, the subject of my dissertation. And that is one of the studies that we will be doing in the coming years.
I saw a documentary where humans were interacting with hyenas. The hyenas came right into their homes in a village, and it looked to me like a risky sort of relationship. But that may be because hyenas just seem fearsome. But you know about wolves, don't you? And I was reading in the study that wolves like to call the tune in interactions with humans, whereas dogs do not insist on that.
Yes, there's increasingly interesting comparisons that have been drawn between dogs and wolves, trying to test them on the same sorts of tasks. I will start by saying, though, that that's very difficult to do because wolves are inherently much more fearful, especially of humans. And so one of the first things I learned when I started working with wolves was that you have to work really hard to put them at ease. There have been some successful attempts to compare dogs and wolves on the exact same task. And one thing that has been found is that when wolves are sufficiently comfortable with humans, they are in some ways not so different from dogs as you might originally suspect. But then you start looking even a little more carefully and you start to notice that there are, again, differences. And so wolves tend to be a little bit more independent, a little bit quicker to lead, and dogs are a little more willing to look to the human and follow the human's lead.
Understood. Do you own a dog?
I do not at the moment. I grew up with a dog.
You probably don't need to own a dog, do you? You have so many dogs to work with.
Oh, exactly. I work with dogs day in and day out, at least in non-pandemic times.
Out of interest, what dog would you choose if you were to own a dog again?
Oh, goodness. Well, I grew up with an American Eskimo dog, and I have a weakness for Spitz dogs generally. They're, I think, you know, a little wolf-like. They're an ancient breed, and they have a lot of personality, which I love.
A lot of personality. They dig holes a bit, though, don't they?
There is that, yes.
We read about dog breeds, Geeta, that seem too fierce to be reliable pets, or we read about breeds that can become irritable and less friendly at a certain age. Are there dogs that you would not tend to own, or you would recommend that people be careful about owning?
No, and I think it's actually an important point that in all of the work we've done looking at the genetics of dog behavior and cognition, in all cases, again, there is a significant component that is environment and experience and is not explained by genetics. And I truly believe that a lot of the problems with aggression or other issues that arise come from either a lack of certain experience or potentially certain the presence of certain other experience. But the one caveat there is that there are certain tendencies that I suspect are genetically predisposed. And so, you know, herding dogs certainly seem to exhibit certain behaviors, including trying to herd their humans sometimes. And if you're not willing to work with that, maybe don't choose a herding dog. But it can be trained to be almost any behavior, I think. There's a lot of room for training it, shaping it into something that's appropriate for the context.
Yes, I know that dogs have certain predispositions and quirks, and someone who owned a Rottweiler told me once it used to follow her from room to room. But basically, if you get a Rottweiler puppy, a German Shepherd puppy, even a Bull Terrier puppy, and you provide the right environment, you know, a dog is a dog and will behave loyally and very cleverly and productively with a human.
Exactly. And a lot of the issues that could potentially arise, I think, can be addressed with socialization and training and often just spending enough time with them doing interesting things.
So the import of your research, really, Geeta, is that dogs are perhaps more than we have thought attuned to us right from the start and know more about us, or at least can work us out more than we've hitherto thought.
That's right. And in some ways, I think they're better at figuring us out than we are at figuring them out.
Hey, lovely talking to you. What a nice job to have. And thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Geeta Nana Desikan.